Welcome to the Application Delivery Challenge interview with Juniper Networks. And thank you for taking the time to download this interview. And I think you can learn some interesting information about what Juniper can do and what application delivery can do for your network. Today I have DJ Skillman, the Technical Marketing Manager in the Application Acceleration and Load Balancing area at Juniper Networks. We're going to be talking about application delivery controllers in the data center. Think of as the controller for the data center servers. It's the next generation load balancing. Tell me something about yourself, DJ. What is your background in this area?
So I've been kind of in this space now since January of 2000, so quite a while now, really when the space was just getting formed. I started with a company called Boostworks there was a software vendor, and moved over to Redline Networks after that, and Redline was purchased by Juniper. So for the last 8 years almost, I've been doing web acceleration and load balancing now. I was previously an SE in the field, and now I run technical marketing for the whole DX line here at Juniper Networks.
Yeah, sounds like you have a lot of good detail experience, so let's dive right into some of the questions and issues.
Okay.
Juniper is taking the lead in providing Layer 7 functionality. I mean, first question is Layer 7 is sort of a vague term. What exactly does Juniper mean by Layer 7 functionality in the application delivery market?
Sure. So, even Redline, when we were there, kind of took the lead at Layer 7 in terms of HTTP. And when we say Layer 7, it goes well beyond what the general term Layer 7 is in the space, in load balancing space. If you kind of look back a few years, even 5 or 6 years ago, there were load balancers that said they were Layer 4 through 7. And they're really limited to a few things, like checking to see what the end of the URL string may be. So if the URL ends in .html, then do something. And it's usually just a routing mechanism. In our case, we go well beyond that, and we are fully HTTP and HTTPS aware. So we are a full Layer 7 proxy in the sense that we understand HTTP fluently. So we understand that there are differences between URLs and host names and query strings. So all the pieces that put requests together, and that means headers, bodies of pages, anything coming from or to through the system, we can understand and tear apart and make changes to, where most devices are looking at an offset or just a very small section of the content. We have the ability to go anywhere in the data stream. That includes maybe even a 1 megabyte file that's coming back from the server. We can change any content in that file. Now, where it's important to be able to have that functionality, it's really important to be able to do it at scale and at load. And so we have the ability to kind of look at anything in the content stream. And, you know, we've got canned objects right on our box, so you don't even have to write your own rules. We have rules written for you already. But the great thing about our stuff is making it easy as well. So being able to write very plain language rules without having to be a coder or anything like that, just a very rudimentary knowledge of HTTP, and you can write as many rules as you'd like.
Okay. So, you know, you excel at deep packet inspection to allow you to perform the functionality.
Sure.
Can we take it to a step down, and let's take a few examples of how a customer would use this, so we can move it beyond the sort of I can inspect deep to this is what I can do for your network, your business, to make it run better.
Sure. So, I mean, a few good examples would be, finally, people have gotten to where they're running their business on the web. It's been a long time coming. Ever since I started 8 years ago, people have been saying next year people will be running all of their businesses on HTML, you know, HTTP web pages and stuff like that. It's finally started to happen in the last year or two. And there have been quite a few applications already in place, and so a lot of what we do is we help with old applications that maybe somebody has purchased or maybe somebody's just been using for a long time. And let's say your boss comes to you and say, well, this every application that we have on our network needs to be HTTPS now. It's got, you know, personal data or something. It needs to be HTTPS. But you've had this application running for the last 3 or 4 years in HTTP. The people that built the application are nowhere to be found. And, you know, there's a lot of hard-coded links to HTTP. So everywhere in the code itself, there are links that say http://, www homepage. And what you could do is hire somebody, or maybe the coders are still there, to go back through every single web page, change the code so that the application is changed so that they're going to HTTPS or use relative links. We have the ability with our stuff with essentially two rules specifically that say look at the body of the pages as they come out. And anywhere you see HTTP, change that to HTTPS. And we can do that at line rate. And so literally the rule, and if you look at some of the handouts that we have, is the rule would be content contains HTTP:// then replace content term HTTPS. That's it. I mean, so if you read the rule, you know exactly what it does, and we go through every single page and change your application from HTTP to HTTPS. On top of doing all of the SSL termination that we're doing, we can actually modify how the code is working. Another example is...
Well, on that example, before you move on,
sure.
So basically what you're saying is if somebody gets a security directive, mm-hmm. you can go ahead and comply with that security directive without requiring sending it back to application and going through the whole thing, saving them not only a lot of time, potentially a lot of money, right?
Both. I mean, I've had multiple customers that literally, just because of the way that their change control and their QA systems work, it would have taken them 3 or 4 people 8 weeks of time to make those changes, just because of the fact that they have to check in and out all the code pages, make the changes, and then run through QA. We were able to do it with literally two rules, and a day later they were running HTTPS.
Well, that sounds like a powerful reason. But let's go on. Let's talk about some other things you can do, or what you mean by providing this advanced layer 7 functionality.
Right. So some other ways that we can and one of the ways we've already kind of touched on a little bit of security, the transport being, you know, making an application more secure, we also can essentially give you the ability to give white or black lists of people being able to come into your site. So you've got firewalls and you may even have IPS or IDP type solutions that are looking at maybe some strings, maybe they're looking at the network level security, making sure that, you know, the IP addresses are who they say they are, people aren't spoofing networks and things like that. But we have the ability for every single application, you know what's allowed and what's not allowed into your application. We have the ability to write rules that literally say, if the URL does not start with something, then deny the request. So we can not only use the rules to route or make changes, we can also use it to deny requests. And so in real time, you can have hundreds or thousands. I literally have customers that have thousands of these rules running with zero latency incurred for the end user that allows you to control how people access your specific application. And on any given DX box, you may have 24 or even 100 different applications running through it. So each application can have its own rule set and its own very specific security rules designed explicitly for your application, you know, blocking people from coming from certain IP addresses, maybe blocking people from going to certain locations depending on what browser they have or what cipher suite they're using in their browser for SSL. virtually we can make decisions on anything in the HTTP stream. So that's extremely helpful just from a an application security front with our layer 7 rules. And tied with that, just inherently in the box, without having to do anything, we check for HTTP protocol validation. If you do not do valid HTTP when you just turn on our HTTP processing, you don't get through our box. You have to do all the right things with the RFC or you don't get past us. So a lot of the things that people are worried about with PCI and things like that, one of the big pushes that they have is being able to inspect protocol and make sure that people are following the rules. And we do that and have been doing that for 5 years now in our box at line rate.
Okay, so you're able to take security and make sure that everybody follows the rules, they play within the lines, which is always very useful. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you another question. Give me an example of. We all got in situations, you know, where we get back pages, you know, server busy, we didn't get the stuff we want, you know, we usually didn't either keep hitting refresh or we go away. Either way, we're not happy.
Right.
Can you do anything to help situations like that with your device and your rule base?
Absolutely. So, I mean, just like any load balancer, we're always checking to make sure that servers are there. So, you know, load balancers do a couple things. They provide scale for your site. It allows you to use multiple servers for the same site. It gives you high availability. So, you know, the loss of any one or two or three servers aren't going to bring you down. And thirdly, performance. But at the same, you know, performance is important, but if the site is not serving what it's supposed to serve, it doesn't matter how fast it is. So we have the ability on a request-by-request basis where most load balancers are checking if the server is there at layer 4, is it available via IP and port, and then every load balancer can also do layer 7 where periodically every few seconds it's going to go ask the web server for a static page and say, okay, you gave me the right answer. It looks like your HTTP service is running. But if you've been, like you said, if you've been searching the internet, you know that occasionally on very busy websites, you'll just be clicking through the page and you get server busy. And you hit refresh and the page comes up. Well, that's downtime for your site. And so we have the ability, since we are a full proxy, we know when the request came in from an end user, and we know that we're asking a web server for certain data. So things like a very simple rule would be if HTTP reply code does not equal 200 and the URL equals index.html, then retry the request. Because the only answer that I expect for my homepage for any time somebody comes into my page is a 200 okay. So every single request that comes through my site, I'm guaranteeing that the answer is going down to the end user that's correct. Because web servers on a very regular basis, usually in the 1% range, which is quite a bit actually, will serve up 500 errors for no particular reason, and we block that from happening. So we shield the end user from ever seeing an error like that and give you higher uptime. And even more importantly, if you're running an e-commerce type site, what happens if that error pops up during credit card processing? Does the person, did it go through? I'm not sure. Most likely it's going to involve at least a support ticket, if not a call to your site. So we can help mitigate that kind of stuff as well.
Oh, so it sounds like you got a automatic refresh button built in for us users who get that page.
Yeah, so it helps both sides. You know, it looks like the site's working better, and you know, if for whatever reason you have a short spurt of 500s, you save your site from getting flooded with people hitting F5 trying to get back into your site. So it helps both sides, gives you better uptime, and has a better end user experience.
Yeah, but one thing that concerned me about that would be, let's say the server actually is down. I mean, is there a limit to the number of retries, or
absolutely.
How do we handle?
Absolutely. We're not going to loop ourselves in infinitely. There are times that in the middle of processing the server does go down. So within the rule set, it says retry request, and you tell it how many times. You may try the same server. In the case of a website that needs persistence, you need to ask the same server. For images or a site that doesn't require persistence, it's probably better to try another server in the pool, and that's also an option within the rule. But we won't loop in, we won't loop ourselves into infinity on that, so it's actually a fixed number of retries. Then if the request fails really, then we have the ability to modify the reply to say, you know what, our site is, to a construction site, try back later, rather than some cryptic 503 server busy. You know, I don't know what that means. That's bad. Did I break something?
So it sounds like, let's say I send in my request. It goes to your application delivery controller. It sends it to the server, gets back a 500. You have the ability to try that server again. You have the ability to try about every server that can handle that request in the data center.
Correct.
And if it still fails, you can sit there and tell them, I'm sorry, give them whatever type page to make them feel a little better.
Right, exactly.
So that sounds like a powerful capability.
No, it's really powerful.
So that's a few examples of where you've been using your rules to define what happens. Every time somebody says, write rules, I get a little nervous there.
Sure.
Is it really that easy? I mean, how much knowledge do I need to have to write the rules?
The rules are extremely easy. So like I said, there's if you know, basic knowledge of HTTP to write the rules, and it's not that hard to pick up. HTTP is a fairly simple protocol. But if you don't like writing rules, obviously we help tons of people out with that as well. But we also have some kind of canned rules that come in the box. So one of our other rules that we use on top of all of our just internal compression and, all the TCP type stuff that we're doing to help speed up the process, we have a rule set that we call NitroTune that comes in the box. And once again, it's a whole bunch of rules that are designed to help improve performance of the application. We actually modify the way the application works with the client. You don't have to write anything. You push a button and say use this rule, and it's already built into the box, and it will allow the end users to cache more content, reduce dramatically the number of round trips within your application. Most applications, especially ones that were written 2 to 3 years ago, suffer from what is now considered relatively poor coding. And we have the ability to modify the way the application works without having to write a rule at all. So you don't need these rules at all to accelerate your site, to do protocol validation, to do SSL termination, all the things that we do within our box. The rules are just an extensible way of manipulating the content as it goes through to make your performance even better or your security even better. But it's absolutely not required to use the rules. In fact, it is it's an additional license if you want to use the rules.
Okay, but let's say since they're so easy to write, and I'm sure I have a lot of situations I got to cover, I go mad. I write a lot of rules. I mean, isn't this now going to affect the performance and the latency? I mean, is there a trade-off there?
There is a trade-off. Obviously, nothing is free. But in terms, what we've done is we've built our box knowing that layer 7 processing is intensive.
Right.
Something needs to give. In our case, we have the ability and have been doing this for quite a while now, is when you turn on our app rules, that's our layer 7 engine, the end user performance is almost exactly the same as whether they're running or not running. And it doesn't matter if you have 100 rules, if you have 1,000 rules, or just one rule, the latency incurred going through our box is virtually the same. If you broke it down math-wise, there's, .00001 seconds or something. It's a ridiculous
very small number.
Yeah, we look like a bump in the wire. Obviously, some latency has to happen if you're going from the wire to a box and back onto the wire, but it's almost unmeasurable. Where we do have a hit is doing very intensive rules, especially if you're trying to, you know, let's say I wrote a rule that said, if you see A, the letter A, anywhere in a page, replace it with B. Well, that means I have to go find every A as it's coming through the page and replace it with B. That's CPU intensive. The end user would not see anything, but their CPU would see a spike. But what's great about how we've built our boxes is a tool or a mechanism called ActiveN within the box. So, yes, layer 7 is intensive, and doing compression, doing all this other stuff that our box does is intensive. And where most load balancers today are limited to an active standby, and even if somebody says, well, I heard that so-and-so has active-active, it's not really active-active. You split up your traffic between two boxes, and one site goes, you know, one VIP or one application goes through one web load balancer, and another application goes through another, and if they fail, they can all go to one. We have the ability to do true active boxes for HTTP and HTTPS applications. So if and when you want to turn every single feature on, and that includes all of our rules and all compression and everything, which is usually on already, if you hit the limit of your box, which is very rare, but if you're in that class of user that pushes the, you know, any load balancer to its limits, we have the ability to simply add another box to the solution. So with ActiveN, we can have theoretically up to 64. Most people, it's two or three boxes working together to add linear scalability for all features. So if one box can handle everything turned on, 500 megabits, two boxes together, you're always going to have two anyway because you need redundancy. You've got a gig, and if you add two more, you've got two gigs, and so on. So the whole speeds and feeds game we try to stay away from just because it doesn't make a lot of sense. Because if anybody can get to the max of one box, they can get to the max of any box. So at some point, you want to be able to turn on all these features, because other people can say, yes, I can do content manipulation. That's great. But I've had a lot of customers that are weary to potentially look at our app rules originally because they're working with somebody else that, well, when I turn on the rules, my box goes, you know, it loses 80% of its capacity. Okay,
right.
That's fine. It's intensive. It's hard to do these things. But if you lose that capacity, which we don't, our capacity doesn't degrade that fast anywhere close to that fast. But if you do degrade the overall capacity of your box, that's fine. You just need to add another one with one configuration, one IP import, and literally you can add boxes to the solution within minutes.
Okay. So it sounds like you can do a lot for HTTP to make it work better, perform better, and you can also help with the security besides doing all the other functions that you can find in the application delivery controller.
Sure.
So I encourage people to, if you want to find out more about the specifics of the details, to contact Jay or probably find somebody else in Juniper, since I've got the
right.
DJ wants that many calls, but it sounds like you got a fairly extensive ability to perform a lot of functionality that can really help the customer.
Right. So, I mean, we can provide all of your load balancing needs along with the advanced Layer 7 HTTP, HTTPS functionality, and you tie that with what everything else that Juniper can do. It's not just, you just don't have an application just sitting there by itself. You've got all your network security. You've got potentially, WAN links that you need to accelerate because it's not just one site. So Juniper provides, a very robust solution set rather than just a point product that does one thing here. Yes, I've got my DX and it does a lot of things, but you tie it together with the rest of what Juniper has to offer, and we've got some pretty compelling solutions that will take on anybody.
Okay, well, thank you, DJ, for taking this time to discuss these issues. And to the listener, you can find out more information by looking at the rest of the challenge or going to Juniper's website. And hopefully you learned something, and this is going to help you. I thank you again for attending today, and have a good day.